Hey, this is Alan C. Gardner from Bad Bad Men, and you're listening to Extra Features Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode 228, and I'm Kevin.
And I'm still hanging out with crappy summer movies. At least they feel like it.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Doug.
So what's up, guys? What's new?
These movies all suck still. I thought September was supposed to have good movies.
Yeah, Chapter 2 was good.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
It was bad.
We're going to get into them, I know. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm excited until this week. I think this week things are going to pick up for me. I have Abominable to watch this week. It came out. I have Judy to watch. Maybe I have some Oscar contention there. Maybe things will be picking up.
Yeah.
I have been watching Descendants with my daughter. Does that count?
Disney Channel original movie. I don't know if it does.
What is this? I don't know. They're not terrible.
No, I love I've been watching the Halloween ones lately.
I don't know. I got really nothing this week. I feel really bad. Like, I came unprepared to the show. I've just been kind of busy. I did watch all the movies, though.
I can't think of a movie that I actually watched this week that I actually enjoyed.
See, Doug's having the same issues as I am.
That's fair enough, yeah.
I mean, I would love to talk about The Kitchen tonight, but since none of you guys have watched it, we can't. So I'll be waiting for that review.
No.
I liked Hustlers, but that's about it.
I did see Hustlers.
Yeah.
Okay, bring some news, Doug. These guys got nothing.
All right. Well, this week was a very big week for Kevin Feige over at Disney. It was announced that he will head up a Star Wars film. He's leaving Marvel behind for one film and going to work in the Star Wars universe. Nothing else is really known other than he's working on Star Wars. And I read today that Chris Evans and Brie Larson are both pestering him for roles in his Star Wars film.
Oh. But since it's still Disney, that's just one lot over, right?
Yeah.
Do we really want Brie Larson in a Star Wars film?
Money.
Captain Marvel and Captain America cross over and meet Luke Skywalker? Is that what we're looking for?
I think so. I'll take Chris Evans, no problems, but I don't really need a Brie Larson in Star Wars. She can go away now.
I love Brie Larson. She's awesome. Yeah,
me too.
Yeah. Still waiting.
You've seen everything. You've seen Room.
I saw Room. I thought the script was terrible, but I thought she was solid in it.
That's the first time I've ever seen you do that flipped. Usually think someone's good because the script is good.
No, I thought Brie was excellent. I thought that script was so dumb.
Oh, yeah, Catherine beats her role in The Unicorn Store.
Yeah, The Unicorn Store. Or how about United States of Terra? Solid writing there with John Corbett. Nailing in his John Corbett performance as usual.
Yeah.
What about Short Term 12?
Which I hated. I got hammered.
Fantastic at that.
Did not like it at all. Found it really boring.
I haven't seen really? It yet.
Yes.
That movie is incredible. I highly recommend that film. Jeez. And the director is going over to Shang-Chi with Marvel just to bring it all back together.
Full circle. She's glorious in Between Two Ferns.
Which I have not seen yet because you guys didn't put it on the list.
I just watched it tonight.
Next time.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, I know that they need world building in the Star Wars universe. They need to do something there, but I can't see Feige staying for long because he's a busy guy. So, I don't know.
Maybe here's a question for you guys. Quick answer, yeah. Star Wars or Marvel, which universe are you working in for the rest of your life?
Marvel, because I grew up with the comics.
Which one we're working in?
Yes. That's it.
Or just watching.
Working.
Marvel? I'm not big on Star Wars.
I'd say Marvel's much stronger.
See, I'm going to pick Star Wars because I think I could bring it back.
Oh, okay.
Because I really feel Marvel's doesn't need me. I think Star Wars does.
Well, my thing with Marvel is there's so much possibility there with a variety of franchises and ideas. Star Wars is somewhat restrained in that front. You can maybe explore certain characters or do storyline with some of them, but I don't know if there's enough there to expand it. So, yeah, so that would be a challenge as opposed to Marvel, where I think it would be easier. Sure.
Yeah, fair.
Do you think Feige will try to bring Robert Downey Jr. over to the Star Wars universe?
Probably not, but maybe.
I would say no. I think you might see him do a walk-by or something, but I think that would be it.
Right.
I don't think we would really want that. I think they kind of want to keep them separate.
My hope is that they'd have the story and then build from there rather than start looking into cameos right away.
Oh, hopefully.
Because if RDJ comes right away, it's like, okay, now this is just another Marvel movie.
Right. I you know what would be crazy is Star Wars meets Marvel movie would be freaking insane. It wouldn't make any sense whatsoever.
Nope.
But it would destroy the box office.
I mean, maybe if Guardians and Star Wars.
Sure. Thor and the Guardians go through a way somehow and end up in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
How about...
That sounds like the 1977's Christmas special.
Here's my Christmas special. We get all the pets from the Marvel Universe and all the Ewoks, and they celebrate Christmas together.
Yeah, you're the only one asking for that one. They're
going to
have Lockjaw and Ewoks.
Yes, Lockjaw eating Ewoks. That's what I'm looking for.
Have you guys seen the TV show Parks and Rec?
Never.
Yep.
A little
yep.
bit.
Yep.
There's a scene with a filibuster. And it was done by Patton Oswalt, and they just let him go. It was all improv, and he went on for half an hour that they cut down for the TV show about literally Star Wars and Marvel merging universes because Marvel is now owned by Disney and so is Star Wars. And he had it's on YouTube, and you should find it. It's incredible. And it's all off the top of Patton Oswalt's head.
Is that the whole episode?
It was one part of the episode, but they just let the cameras go, and you could find longer takes on YouTube.
Oh, I see him at the podium. Oh, okay. I'll watch this later.
Cool. Well, anything else in the news?
Well, if you want to still talk about Kevin Feige, we could talk about how he got Spider-Man back for one more Spider-Man movie and at least one more role in another Marvel movie, not Spider-Man.
Right. So possibly in Avengers 5 or something else.
The rumors I heard were new Avengers, but that's literally just rumors, nothing solid.
It's new news.
It's new Avengers. There's rumor that they wanted him in Captain Marvel too at one point. He could appear in Fantastic Four, for that matter. Because Fantastic Four and Spider-Man have a connection in Spider-Man 1. Who knows? And there is talk. There's still the talk of Spider-Man and Venom meeting up at some point. So another part of the big part of the news is that Disney is paying 25% of the budget, I believe, of all of the upcoming Sony Marvel movies as a result of this deal. So they're putting money into Venom, into Morbius, into Spider-Verse 2, and all that stuff. So they're putting part of it in there. See them then moving Venom and maybe having these characters interact in the Marvel Universe in their films.
Interesting. So, I hadn't heard about the Morb part because I thought that was already shot. I thought that's
the movie's
editing
done.
Now.
The movie's done. So Tom Holland could appear in the Morbius film in a cameo role And that would not be one of the two Marvel Universe film appearances produced by Kevin Feige that's in that contract.
Oh.
Because it's a Sony film, but Disney is putting money into it because it's a Marvel property. They're putting some, maybe they'll put it towards advertising promotion or something like that. Tied together in some way. So, I mean, I don't think every movie, even if it's in the Marvel Universe, necessarily has to connect in the story role. It can be something that just happens somewhere else and assume that these other things are going on.
Okay.
Right? Which is essentially what we all thought when with X-Men and Spider-Man and all that stuff. Did you guys see the deleted scene? They're going to start releasing stuff from the Marvel Vault with the Infinity Saga box set. And so there's a shot. So the original sequence from the end of Iron Man 1 with Sam Jackson's Nick Fury, he mentions radioactive spider bites and mutants in the speech.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was assumed that they were going to try to have crossovers with the existing Raimi Spider-Man franchise and the Singer X-Men franchise.
Huh.
That was that was Feige's original thing, but since subsequently they've moved on and all, like, other people have done the roles and other things have happened subsequently, so that kind of was shelved, but that was something that was on the table. They probably would have sued if they'd mentioned radioactive spiders and mutants if they'd made that to film, but I think Feige was still hoping, because he had, connections with all of those. Like, don't forget, Kevin Feige was a producer on the Raimi Spider-Man films, and he was on the X-Men films.
I did not know that. Wow. Yeah.
So he was involved in all of those at some point. He was very much involved in the... At least the good ones.
Possibilities are big. I don't know if this is one of your news pieces, Doug, but did you guys see that they announced a Madame Web movie? And what do you guys think about that? I don't know anything about that character.
Kevin, it's all yours.
I think that probably they would have to do an incredible amount of reimagining for that character. Because the only thing I remember of that character is she sits in a chair. And there is nothing exciting about watching somebody sit in a chair.
No.
Even if it is Thanos at the end of Avengers 1.
So in the Spider-Man cartoon in the 90s, Madame Web was used as the catalyst for the jumping of dimensions. So the alternate reality Spider-Man all met up using Madame Web in some form. Because she, with her clairvoyance, she could see beyond one dimension and see what was going on in other dimensions and open portals.
Oh.
So it could be that I can't see Madame Web being a character that dominates her own movie. Like, I'm not sure she's that interesting.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a lead character. That sounds like a side character.
Yeah, or just like a MacGuffin. Like, instead of an object, it's a person.
You know? Yeah.
This person has the ability to get people across dimensions. And maybe they'll use her in Spider-Verse 2 in some ways, but... Because now that machine is broken.
Yeah, so it's like a gateway setup, maybe?
Yeah, more or less from the sounds of it, I think. Oh, if you're going to introduce that character. So I think the best Madame Web story was Amazing Spider-Man 229 and 230.
Yep.
Which is the Juggernaut one.
Okay.
Where she foresees her own death and at the hands of the Juggernaut and Black Tom. And so... She recruits Spider-Man and he fails, but he avenges her basically by pursuing Juggernaut and finding a way to defeat him. Like a character that can't be defeated. Sorry, anyway, my comic geekiness coming through, but.
No, that sounds interesting. But I mean, right. Spider-Man wouldn't be in it. I mean, and if he was, it would be Miles Morales, right?
Now, if they do a Madame Web movie, she could very well cross over with Tom Holland Spider-Man, especially if as part of the Marvel Universe, you know, with Sony, they might say that it's okay. Since Spider-Man is their character to use, they could use him in that, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. I think at the time when we were talking about him being shut out, I think if we go back to the episode, I think at that time I said that I thought that this wasn't done.
So yes, you did.
I'm surprised to be vindicated. But yeah, this quickly. I figured it would have lasted a little bit longer, but I'm glad he's back. And so is every film fan. Every Marvel fan. Except those film fans that hate Marvel movies. They don't care.
Yeah, fair.
All right. Any other big news?
I would say... I would like to Stephen Hague, who I know from tons of really low-budget horror films, but he's shown up in a lot of surprising places, too, and he's just a character actor's face who I will miss seeing in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People of Rob Zombie movies.
Yeah, but I see him in tons of things, and fans loved him. Still do.
Yeah, I mean, I read that he was, like, having trouble walking, but he was still going to, like, Comic-Cons and stuff.
Yeah, meeting his fans.
Yeah, I had no issues with Sid Haig. He had to pay the bills, and he knew what he had to do. Go out and meet people.
And that healthcare doesn't pay itself, so.
No, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And also passing away recently was Rob Garrison, who's probably a role in Karate Kid and the follow-up YouTube show Cobra Kai.
I love that show. Love Cobra Kai.
I'll be honest, I haven't seen it.
Really good. Surprisingly, really good.
I've seen season one. It's very good.
Season two is better. I like it but more because I know everybody now. So I've seen half of it and love it.
Okay. That's a YouTube Red show, right?
Correct. Yeah. I think that is the only YouTube Red show. I don't know another one.
No.
I think there's like this one where PewDiePie tries to scare people.
Who?
Big YouTuber, PewDiePie. Your kids would know her. Your kids would know him.
I'll get right on that.
No, you don't have to, but it is probably one of the other shows on YouTube Red.
Okay. Has anybody watched the big movie for this week? Our lead-in?
Yes.
Does anybody have a cast list?
Ad Astra. Yes, I do. Starring Brad Pitt, Tommy Lee Jones, Ruth Negga, Donald Sutherland, and even though she doesn't have any lines, Liv Tyler. She has lines. I thought she just looked at him at the time.
No, they meet. There's a scene at the end where they... Well, there's a conversation.
Oh, well, we didn't... I mean, they kind of just looked at each other. I don't think she ever said a word.
Well, she does speak in the clips, the video clips he watches on his phone.
Correct.
Oh, right. That one scene. Okay. Yeah. I just felt like she just talked more in the trailers.
That may be true. Who has seen this great classic movie Ad Astra? Everybody?
I want to drop some words like great from that sentence and classic and add forgettable, never to be heard from again. Set to my top 10 worst list.
Also, chop down everything from the sentence.
I was being a little sarcastic.
No, I'm not.
No,
I'm not.
Doug, did you see this one?
Oh, yeah, I did not get a chance to go to the theater to see this one yet.
Lucky you.
All right, who wants to kick this one off then?
I will tread very lightly. I think I love the outdoor scenes. I really enjoy the beginning of the film. Like, hey, it looks nice. I think I'm going to be into this. Looks like I got some gravity happening on my hands again. Okay, I'm good. Then the plot started to unroll it. I'm like, this is terrible. As soon as I heard the plot, I'm like, nope, not going to buy this one for a minute. And I'm like, why would Brad Pitt do this? Does he need cash that bad? And they just, nothing happens. They just talk in these monotone voice for the whole 20 minutes. Then he gets on a space mission. Looks great. Then meets his dad. Talks for a full, I fell asleep. I couldn't care less. I could barely stay awake during this movie. Nothing interests me. Nothing other than the space scenes. Absolutely boring.
Really? I will give you the fact that there are some dull spaces, but like I found when my interest peaked, it peaked a lot. Like I thought the story was interesting. I thought like the shootout when they're driving on the moon or Neptune?
Yeah. On the moon.
That was just looked amazing, and I thought that was really good. And like then the little spooky rescue scene was great. And I thought his performance seems like disconnected at times, but I think that's just because he's trained to be like that. He's trained to like not be emotional about it. So it's just like whenever he was emotionally vulnerable, like I thought those scenes were better because his character isn't supposed to be like that. And I thought that was interesting. But yeah, no, I do. It does definitely have some boring spots.
So I'm glad I saw this in a movie theater.
Yeah,
with full screen and great sound, because it's visually interesting and at times reminded me of Gravity and Interstellar, two movies I do not love, but I respect.
This was
Heart of Darkness, essentially.
Yes, which I don't like, so good.
It's Apocalypse. He's going up the river to find Colonel Kurtz.
And absolutely. His father.
And as he gets further from the center, which is Earth, or America in the case of Apocalypse Now, or the American Army base, things get crazier and wackier, and you question your sanity. And I think one of the things about the boat captain in Heart of Darkness and Willard in Apocalypse Now, and then Colonel McBride in this one, was that Robert McBride? Is that his name? Is that, if I remember? Anyway, our son of Clifford. They're dispassionate men. They are known for their lack of emotion and being able to do the job without letting emotions interfere.
Correct.
And that is, I think, the core to Brad Pitt's character, but he's kind of dull to watch on screen because there is stuff bubbling under the surface with his father and their relationship, and he resented his father leaving, but he understands why he left. He just resents it as a son would resent a father who had to leave to go to work and didn't stay to spend time with him. Tommy Lee Jones was fine, I thought, in his role. Ruth Negga was great in her part. I had no problems with any of the people in the film. It had lofty aspirations, and it fails a lot. It tries to be a very important film, and I'm not sure that it works on that level.
Fair.
But I can respect its attempt to try. Uh-huh. And I'm glad that I went through the experience of watching that film.
Did you see it in IMAX or just on a regular screen?
Just on a regular screen.
Yeah, me too. See, I'm not big on Gravity at all. It looks great, but it's just Sandra Bullock running into shit for 90 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that film either, but it was okay.
Yeah, like I respect it. Like it's like, oh, visually amazing, but it's like I hate the story. But I actually kind of like the story here, so that's why like I like this better than Gravity. But it's not like I'd watch this again anytime soon.
Right. That was the first thing I went, got home, and did my two sentence internet review, which was, I don't want to ever see this movie ever again. I've seen it once. I've done it once, and I'm glad I saw it. I'm glad I went through it, but I do not want to revisit it. And if I had watched it at home, I would have been bored, silly. I would have been completely distracted and done other things.
Yeah, that part would have been neat. Because, like, I mean, first time I saw 2001: A Space Odyssey, I saw it in the theaters. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I fell asleep at Clifton Castle. I fell asleep 30 minutes of just, like, the light show. I was like, get me the hell out of here. Mm. And, like, that's one I also don't need to see again.
Well, I like Close Encounters a lot, actually. I find that because it's Spielberg and the characters are interesting.
Yeah. You see, I'd watch that one again because I think that one I didn't sleep all the night before. And, like, that was when they re-released it. And, like, they showed, like, an 8-minute featurette. I hadn't seen it before, so they spoiled, like, all the best scenes before the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, anyway, that's back to Ad Astra. That's my side rant.
I think you guys are both crazy, man. Completely, completely crazy.
About Gravity?
Yes, I love Gravity. Absolutely enjoy that film immensely. But let's get back to Ad Astra. It's boring. It does not interest me. The
science is wrong.
Oh, is it?
Like, so when he grabs the heat shield, or whatever it is from that panel, and then he launches himself rings of Neptune to get through to the other ship, and he's floating through space.
Yeah.
As soon as he hits the barrier, with the rocks hitting the shield he's held up, there's no way his propulsion of pushing himself away from the ship would have been enough to carry him through the rings. As soon as those rocks started hitting the shield, he would have slowed right down and probably been pelted the other way backwards.
Oh.
That just didn't make any sense to me. Even with thrusters on his suit, it didn't seem to make a lot of sense. He'd have to have more thrust from the suit than the rocks hitting the shield. And just, anyway.
Did he even have thrusters?
Well, he did, because he had to get, you have to have some way of moving through space. You can't swim through space. You need to be guided in a certain way.
Well, I'm dumb. I don't know the rules of space other than no one can hear you scream.
Right. Well, there's no gravity, so essentially there's nothing. If you go in one direction, you're going to go in that direction infinitely until you're sucked into the gravity of something else.
Okay.
Right, so... and the ships themselves had no external gravity. So that's why you need tethers.
Oh, okay.
Right? So I did find the scene at the beginning when he was on the international, whatever it is, the telescope and radio frequency thing where he's working on the tower and he falls. I thought that was kind of interesting.
I had a question of that because he electrocuted himself on purpose, right?
No.
Or is that...
No,
it was just to get away from it.
He shut down the electricity in that section.
Oh.
To prevent a power surge.
Sometimes if something's not explained to me, I thought he was trying to kill himself.
Oh, okay. No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
God, Skype is terrible
okay.
Tonight.
Well,
yeah, you were frozen for a good minute right there.
Oh, there you go.
No, but, I like a lot of this movie, but, like, the whole
no,
like, daddy didn't love me thing was, like, yeah. Like, just Tommy Lee Jones is like, I never cared about you. Never cared about your mother.
Also, I'm not sure how he made it back from Neptune to Earth in about a week.
Yeah, he's quick. That was very fast.
Oh, it seemed like, yeah, it seemed very fast.
Maybe he got on light speed. You never know. Maybe he jumped in that Marvel Star Wars crossover that's coming up.
Right.
I think it's just... I think he got there with movie editing.
Well, he didn't have that much facial hair growing on his face. Maybe, like I said, maybe it looked like a couple days' worth.
Oh, okay. Maybe he just grows hair like a high schooler. I don't know.
Maybe.
I have nothing to say about this. Bored the crap out of me.
Oh. Okay.
Lost you there.
Yeah.
Just move to a new movie. I'm done.
Okay.
I hate this movie.
All right, what's next?
Rambo Last Blood, starring Sylvester Stallone, Yvette Monreal, Paz Vega, and Sergio Perez Fonchetta.
Dan, you want to start? I don't think Doug saw it.
I saw it this afternoon.
Doug first. Go ahead. You're fresh.
Yeah, you're fresh.
I'm fresh.
Fresh blood.
It was the worst movie I have seen this year so far. It was absolute dog shit. And I say this as somebody who likes the other Rambo films. I think the first one is a legitimately good film.
Yeah.
The second one is a fun action kind. Third one I don't remember anything about.
Neither do I.
The fourth one, with its over-the-top violence... I found myself revisiting that a few times.
Okay.
This one I will never see again. It was awful. It was incredibly racist, and Rambo was just a complete idiot throughout the entire film.
I have a question for you. Are the Mexicans the new villains for every film?
They want to get over the wall.
Well, that's all it is. I mean, Rambo gets upset and goes just to kill everybody. Okay. Then they come to get him, and I'm like, this is terrible. There's not even a story here.
You're luring Mexicans over the border to come try to kill you.
That's the whole – is it not the whole film?
I mean, it's Taken and Home Alone at the end, right?
Well, that's what I wrote. I felt going – the film starts like, this is Taken meets Home Alone.
Yep.
It literally is Taken. He goes, I got a set of skills. I'm going to get you. And he really says that. It wasn't like it was a joke. He literally says that to the girl. I need your help. I'm like, oh.
So, like, so much of, like, the dialogue is really bad. Like, when that one, the woman is like, oh, I'm gonna be sad for the rest of my life. Like, it feels like they cut out my heart. And then Rambo just takes it super seriously. And then cuts someone's heart.
Oh, just like the end of this film. It's just terrible. It's like nobody hits him. There's, what, 50 of them? And he can't hit one shot. Doesn't hit Rambo ever.
Okay.
And he did get shot
twice at the end.
Finally. But he, like, keeps finding the gun as he needs it. And he's, like, shooting guys perfectly. Everybody. I'm like, this is so bad.
Sorry. I'll say one thing. Okay, I hated this movie for the most part. Like, it's just melodramatic at the beginning. And the first hour is just Taken, and it's a really bad version of it. It's just horseback riding and like, oh, no, my kind of daughter. I'm gonna come get you. And then, okay, but I had fun with the last 15 minutes. It's cartoonish. Oh. It's Home Alone. It's like Looney Tunes, but I love Looney Tunes. I don't know. It's bad violence, but like I thought it was the first time I was actually like, okay, this doesn't make me want to sleep. This is kind of fun. But as a whole, it's very bad. It's not a very good movie at all.
But even the violence at the end was nowhere near as fun as the violence of the fourth Rambo film, where he comes up behind a guy on a truck and literally shoots him with a cannon that was inches from him.
What?
And the guy disintegrates into red mist.
Okay, I saw that in like 2009. I don't remember it at all. And I've seen First Blood. I didn't really like that very much. But I'll have to watch the first four again. That's amazing. There's nothing like that's in here unless you count like them just falling on spikes. That's probably the most gnarly.
Did anybody see the America Ferrera movie that came out earlier this year other than me? It's a very similar plot. She gets kidnapped, a CIA.
That's Miss Bala.
Miss Bala.
America Ferrera.
Is that America Ferrera?
That's Rodriguez.
Sorry. It's like the same film. I'm like, I saw this film already this year.
Yeah.
I thought this was the same Rambo. Exact plot.
Yeah, so this one has Rambo, that one has the pretty girl.
Well, the pretty girl dies in this one.
Yeah, they both have pretty girls, yeah.
I'm just waiting to pick up the phone going, give me back my daughter.
I will find you, I will come to Mexico, I will find you, and I will lure you back to Arizona to Home Alone trap your asses.
Well, it's like when he takes the beating and he doesn't get killed, I'm like, he's coming back to kill you, dummy. Like, what Mexican cartel guy does not kill him?
Yeah, and then the journalist is just like, hey, I'm going to nurse you back to health. Because they took my sister, too.
She's a medic, too. Journalist and medic. Because, you know, you go to journalism school to be a medic. I did not know that.
Well, I'm not a medic. I went to journalism school. Yeah, but I mean, Paz Vega's pretty good.
But your mom is, so you're good to go.
Oh, true. Oh, tag team.
There you go.
She actually did journalism, like a semester of journalism, too. So, anyway.
So she's a journalism man. There you go.
Oh, wow. So it is proven.
Couldn't this whole movie have been avoided if, at the very beginning, Rambo said, all right, you want to go meet your dad? I will take you down to Mexico.
Oh, my God.
Did you not expect that? That's exactly where I thought the movie was going to go off the beginning.
But, like, okay, and a big problem I have with it, too, is, like, she's like, okay, bye, Rambo, and then she's, like, as if going to her house, but then she goes to Mexico.
Yes.
Like, okay, that's premeditated. You have your passport. You have to have your passport. you knew you were going to Mexico.
And also, her friend sold her out.
Yeah, the friend was so stupid. Like, oh, I see you looking at me. I see you looking at my place.
Yeah.
Like, judging me. Like, that's so stupid.
Like, she was a terrible actress. Who do you think you are? I'm like, really? Yeah. This guy's like, I don't know how tall Stallone is. 6'2", maybe?
Yeah, 6'2".
Tell he's short. He's 5'8". The guy's roided out. You can tell he's been doing some HGH or something. You're going to tell me you're going to give him attitude? He's going to put your face through the table and keep walking. He doesn't care, and it's pretty evident.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact that she sells her out for her bracelet, even though she's just going to be human trafficked, it's just... There's not a lot of logic to it.
I told you, this is Miss Bala meets Taken meets Home Alone. It's all here.
But if you want to watch it for 15 minutes for the Home Alone part, that's fine.
No,
but otherwise,
don't. What? There's other films to watch. Don't waste your time. Watch Descendants. It's better.
Family Channel movie?
It's got dancing in it.
Or the George Clooney one.
The George Clooney one. Before we move on to the next movie, I just have to ask, does building tunnels actually help with PTSD?
Wait, that's why he did it?
Yes!
That's what I'm assuming.
That's the only thing you can assume.
I thought he was just like, hey, like, you see Panic Room, do you want a lot of tunnels to escape people?
I just think he did it because he doesn't want to talk to anybody. He gave him something to do. But I agree with Doc. I totally must be that reason.
I think he just did it because, hey, we need a finale. Do you want to do it in tunnels? Make you feel like you're in Vietnam. Okay, I hate this movie more now that I'm talking about it.
Oh, so do I. I think it's still not going to be number one. So it'll be in the top five for sure, worst.
Yeah. I give it a 5 out of 10, but I think that's what you
said. Oh, my God.
Don't look at me.
Oh, I'm not looking at you.
Okay, so we'll go to the next one. Arctic?
Sure.
Mads Mikkelsen, Maria Thelma Smaragdóttir. I suck at names, man. You want to kick? I don't know if anyone's seen this but me and Simon.
No.
I have not.
I'll go.
Yes.
This is boring, too. Oh, my God. When they're walking, like a snowstorm, I got it. They have no money in their budget. I got it. Oh, my God. This film is uninteresting, Daniel. Walk through the snow. Hey,
gun to your head. Would you rather watch this or Ad Astra again?
Oh, my God.
I think I watch Ad Astra again because the story is interesting, but this one is like an hour 30, so it's very compact.
Oh.
God. Oh, my God.
This is a tough choice. Ad Astra, because it's got a nice scenic, because all I see is snow in this one, and I've seen this movie 100 times. I mean, nothing happens, Daniel. Literally nothing. But him talking to himself and walking up a snowbank.
He barely talks to himself. Like, the scenery is pretty, and I thought, like, Mads Mikkelsen was like, okay. People say, like, I've seen critics being like, oh, this is the former performance of his career, but in the way that he emotes pretty well, with the little dialogue, but yeah, no, I agree completely. It's very boring. I usually take notes of movies and on my notepad on my phone. And usually there's a bunch of pages of it. And I put this one on my Word document. This came out of two pages. Like, I usually take notes of, like, something interesting happens or something that I want to talk about, and there's nothing in this film.
I saw this film when it first came out. I gave it a 1. I was so bored. Yeah, I saw it in January or February. I was bored out of my skull. I'm like, I love Mads Mikkelsen, but nothing happens. I remember it looked nice, but I'm like, how did you not make snow look nice?
No, that's...
And they just walked.
No.
And you're just like, okay, he's going to save her by the end. Whoop-de-doo. That's the whole film.
Even that's like are they going to make it? Because, like, the copter comes late, I guess.
I couldn't care less. I couldn't care if the copter ever showed up. Maybe it was Brad Pitt coming back from Neptune. That's why he got back so fast. He had to go pick up Mads Mikkelsen off the mountain.
No, I mean, it's a compact movie, but it's like one of the longest 90-minute movies I've seen.
Oh, my God.
Like, the only interesting beats, the polar bear trying to get into their little cave.
That was so bad. I'm like, God, this polar bear looks terrible.
Yeah, it did. But, I mean, it's the first, like, that it's like, oh, something's happening, and then it stops.
But did you even care about that point? I want the polar bear to eat them.
I mean, if the polar bear eats them, it's
over.
It's over, yeah. Polar and then there's probably just 10 minutes of melancholy as they go through the snow and reflect. but then I thought he was going to have to 127 hours when he got his foot caught under the rock that he goes through the ice and then he gets his foot caught.
That was pathetic. I'm like, really, guys? You have nothing here.
Like, no 127 hours, maybe 2 minutes.
Another movie I did not like, 127 hours. That was 2 hours of boredom.
No, you know, I agree completely. I don't like that movie. But, I mean, like, these man versus nature movies, they're not very eventful at all. There's, like, survival of the human spirit, but I didn't like the character. They didn't characterize him well at all. You don't even get to see his plane crash. They just only have enough budget for the helicopter to crash.
Listen, I work outside. I know this is my daily life in the winter. Don't find this interesting.
No, I'll just follow you around at work for an hour and a half and then go home.
That's you might as well because it's the same movie.
Wait, is the polar? Who's the polar bear going to be? When is it going to show up?
I'm sure there'll be some rabid dog that can chase us for a few minutes. We can hide out in the postal truck.
In a onesie, like a polar bear onesie.
And so this movie is not to be confused with Polar, which also starred Matt.
Ooh,
no, yeah, Polar's true. Not bad. Polar's worth watching.
Yeah.
I don't like Polar that much, but at least that has like action and something happens.
I like Polar. Right. It was fun.
It has decent action, but I hated the villain so much. Like the guy from Bridesmaids, Matt Vaughn. No, not Matt Vaughn. Matthew something.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Rebel Wilson's boyfriend at the time.
Wait, they dated? Oh, no. Wasn't it weren't they like step-siblings? Or siblings in Bridesmaids?
Yes, but
Matt Lucas.
But they did date. Yes. Moving on. We don't have to go back to Polar.
Sorry.
It's all good.
Bye, Arctic. Wonder Park, starring Jennifer Garner, voicing. Brianna Dunsky, Mila Kunis, Kenan Thompson, John Oliver, Ken Jeong, and Matthew Broderick.
Did you watch this one, Doug, with your kids, or they're too old for this stuff?
They are too old for it. I have not seen this film. Although my one son was interested because of John Oliver, but that wasn't enough to make them actually want to see the film.
No, it shouldn't be enough at all. Okay.
Well, since I have kids, I put it by the kids' test, of course. They both hated it. Both hated this film.
What did you think?
I didn't do anything for me. I thought it was really dumb. I thought they tried hard. I thought they had a good potential with it. I thought I liked the animation. I liked the beginning of the film. I thought there was a good look here. I thought there might have been more depth, but it came really dumb. When they finally got to Wonder Park, I thought the movie fell apart.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it looked nice. And it's kind of a weird story device when it's like she goes to – she likes Wonder Park because she works on it with her mom. And then her mom is sick. And then when her mom goes away – it's like, oh, she just goes to Wonder Park to get away from everything, right? And it's just kind of weird that she's alive the whole time, just getting treatment somewhere else. And I feel like that's a cop-out. But and for a movie that's so much about, like, characters' imaginations, because Wonder Park is an amusement park that comes from the mind of this little girl. And then she grows up a bit more, and then she, like, after throwing all this Wonder Park stuff out, she visits it in real life. And then, but yeah, for a movie that's so much about, like, her imagination, it's not very imaginative. It's, like, very safe.
Well, yeah, even the villains are kind of dumb. It's just kind of like, okay, we know what's going to happen. Like, the magic monkey pen was kind of interesting for 30 seconds. And the park is going. I liked it. But I thought the story was just every character you could do. Oh, that character is going to do this. That character is going to do that. There was nothing new here.
Yeah.
The little girl had to find her imagination again. Okay, I got it.
And then the monkey's pen has to work because she has to believe, too.
Exactly.
But that dream place trying to save the monkey was kind of visually cool, though.
I like some of the visuals of it, but again, and the mom comes back, I'm like, I just don't care.
The mom coming back feels like a cop-out.
Well, they weren't going to kill her. That's what I was... I thought she was going to be dead. I'm like, okay, I'll let it go if it does, but it... Then she goes back at the end, I'm like, okay, sure, don't care.
But, like, it feels like... If it's, like, the emotional stakes are supposed to be good, it feels like she should just die at the end and not just go get treatment somewhere.
I thought they were trying to do a Pixar film and failed. I really thought they were trying to copy a Pixar model here with the animation, the storyline.
Yeah.
But there's no depth to it. That's the problem with a lot of these films. There's no depth. We see that with Arctic with no depth. Rambo's just dumb. Wonder Park tries hard but fails.
And, like, voice actors aren't anything special out of it. They're just being themselves.
Well, that drives me nuts with a lot of voice actors. That they'll hire Doug for the sake, and Doug plays Doug. No problem, Doug playing Doug. But 15 movies of Doug, I'm kind of bored of Doug. That's when we have good voice actors that they should be hiring. People we don't know, because they just want these names for the poster.
I mean, Doug's a little lively. I can handle at least two.
Oh, okay, maybe three. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need to hear the same voice people. Like, oh, we need John Oliver. Well, guess what John Oliver sounds like?
John
Oliver.
Do you want to watch a show instead?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. We have such good voice acting talent on TV shows. Put them in the film, and they can give you a little kid voice, an old kid voice, a fat kid voice, and it all sounds different.
But for me, like, this is better than, like, something really, really bad and boring, like Nutjob, Norm of the North.
Oh, God, Norm of the
North.
Like,
not in the same league. Nutjob. Not very good. I know.
Nutjob passed the kid test, I hate to tell you.
They liked it?
They liked Nutjob. They thought it was funny.
Okay, but that came out 5 years ago. Make them watch it again.
Well, my kid would have been three.
Okay, see, a three-year-old might like it. An eight-year-old probably wouldn't.
I don't know. We're going to try Abominable next, so I'll tell you how Abominable goes for the kid test next.
That looks pretty good. Did they watch the Nutjob 2, Nutty by Nature?
They loved it. Both of them.
What?
They thought it was insane.
Wow. I haven't seen Nutty by Nature, but it's against my nature to watch it.
Both films were number one in my top 10 worst lists the year they came out.
Oh, okay.
Is how much I hated them.
Okay, we'll move along, though, because Wonder Park's fine. It's just kind of boring and nothing much more to talk about.
Put it on, do the dishes, you'll be fine.
I can't do it. I need to watch the movie. I can't just have it as background noise. But that's just me.
Well, you've already seen it once. Put it on the second time for background noise then.
Oh, true. You're smart. Okay.
Don't push
all
it.
What?
Don't say I'm smart.
Don't push it. Don't flatter me. Okay. All is True, starring Kenneth Branagh, who I can't believe isn't in Kingsley. I haven't watched this, but anyway, and Jench and Ian McKellen.
Yeah, it's basically Kenneth Branagh as Ben Kingsley playing William Shakespeare.
Yes.
Totally. He looks just like him.
Yeah, I saw the trailer and I was like, wait, that's Kenneth Branagh? How?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's under makeup to look like Shakespeare, but I guess when you do that, you start to look more like Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, that's true.
Who has seen this one?
I have.
Just you and me?
Yeah,
I didn't watch it.
Okay, well, so there was a great fire and the Globe Theater burned down. So Shakespeare, at one point, retired to the country life. And as he was doing plays at Stratford, his family went about their lives. So he had two daughters and his wife, and they lived in his home, and he never saw them. So suddenly coming home again, he was thrust into the lives of his family and the community there. And so this is just a sort of William Shakespeare gets to know his family, deals with the inner politics of his daughters and what they want and where what their aspirations were. And he deals with the death of his son who died a while back, and he never really came to terms with it. So I thought it really had a great sense of authenticity. I felt like they did a great job with the sets and the locations and emulating the world of Elizabethan Shakespearean England. And I thought the performances were top-notch. And I really enjoyed the film. It was dull, but I still liked it nevertheless. And that's my review.
I accept your review. There's no issues. I like the film at times. I mean, I can't believe that was Kenneth Branagh's film. My God, it has to be. This acting is so good. Mm-hmm. I like parts of the film. I thought that jerk off in the church that kept bugging Shakespeare about his dad, he should have punched him in the face. Solve that problem. The one point you didn't mention was Shakespeare's daughter, the one he has the issues with all the time. Judith?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I liked her a lot. I thought her acting was very strong to conveying all the stuff we needed to know about what we missed, and she would explain a lot to us what was happening when he wasn't there. I thought that was very important to the script.
Right.
I mean, I don't think Shakespeare really had any clue what was going on at home when he wasn't there.
No, I think he was writing worlds. He was creating the worlds of his plays and entertaining millions. And I think part of this, too, is to look at celebrity.
Yes.
Because people weren't celebrities for entertainment at that day and age. So, and everybody knew William Shakespeare. So he was like the first English celebrity who wasn't a nobleman or the queen. Or royalty. So I thought that was kind of interesting in dealing with that, and then his drunken night with his there was some stuff in there. The night with his sponsor, played by Sir Ian McKellen. That was an interesting night where they started to delve into their desires a little bit too much. And I thought, wow, I didn't really know that about Shakespeare, and I'm not sure I needed to know that about Shakespeare, but okay, interesting. That seemed to be more like, let's throw some controversy and conjecture into the life of Shakespeare. But, you know, he lived in interesting times. There was definitely the Puritan movement was taking over, and you could see that with his son-in-law. And the frustrations his one daughter was having and the accusations that are made against her. I don't know. I found it fascinating. I bought it, so I'm glad I did. I went and watched some of the extra features. Learned a little bit more about the story, but
I don't know. I like parts of it. I just thought it was a little long for my taste. Maybe 20 minutes cut out, I would be a little bit happier. Mm-hmm. Some things weren't needed. Like I said, I mean, he keeps digging up this card. I enjoy Judi Dench a lot as his wife. I think she provides a lot. I think it's for people that are interested in Shakespeare and want to know more about his background. This is a solid film to see.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not telling everybody to go out to see it. I mean, I wouldn't tell Doug to go see it unless, hey, if you want interested in Shakespeare, absolutely watch this film.
Yeah, if you like Shakespeare plays and you know a little bit about the history of Shakespeare, you would find it interesting.
And if you don't care, you're not missing anything.
No, you wouldn't. Any other than a fine performance by Brenna and Judi Dench and Sir Ian McKellen.
Correct.
Brenna as Ben Kingsley as Shakespeare.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Have you guys seen any of Brenna's Shakespeare adaptations?
Of course.
Like, how would you compare it to that? Because I'm a big fan of his Hamlet. I thought was excellent. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering how you would compare it to his Shakespeare adaptations.
Not so good.
His adaptations did a great job of making Shakespeare contemporary for a film audience. I thought the choice of settings for Hamlet was very interesting. The visuals were fantastic. Midsummer Night's Dream was fun, I guess. And, okay, I see. And, but this was more historical documentary. So I would say, a different league.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only, like, I watched Anonymous in, like, 2011. Like, the only thing, like, about Shakespeare that I've seen that, like, he wasn't the one that wrote them. Was, like, that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was really boring.
That was a terrible film.
Yes, but this one's better.
Oh, way better.
Okay, then I might... I mean, I thought that had interesting parts, but it's, like, really boring. So I'm like, I might watch this one. I'm not big on biographies, and it's just, like, oh...
I love Shakespeare in Love. I think it's a fantastic film. That's one of my favorites.
Shakespeare in Love?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't watched that.
Oh, it's so good.
Okay, sounds good. I might have to have a Shakespeare day sometime then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, what's next?
Gerald's Game, our Netflix film, starring Carla Gugino, Bruce Greenwood, Henry Thomas, Kate Siegel, and Carol Struycken. I think that's how you see it.
So from what I understand, that this was the one Stephen King story that they thought was completely unfilmable. And some decided to make a Netflix movie out of it.
They made it filmable, I think.
I think so. I have some problems with it, but yeah.
Like I love Stephen King's my favorite author, and this was one of the few books of his that I haven't liked. There's some of them that are just boring, but I think, and there's parts of this film that are boring as well, but I think it improves on the pacing, and it makes it creepy enough to be a good watch. It's just Mike Flanagan's style is very, very good for Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that he was material. Oh, sorry, Kevin.
Did we all see this? Or?
Yes.
Okay. So, so what do we think?
I thought it was a very tight adaptation. I thought the pacing was excellent.
Yeah.
The only thing that threw me off was the space cowboy stuff. I didn't think that was needed in this adaptation. I didn't think it really added the life and death motivation. I think it could have been done without and still would have been frightening and thrilling. I just think that the space cowboy stuff just added too much that wasn't needed to the overall story and the fight for survival. Other than that, I think it was excellent. I thought Bruce Greenwood was fantastic. I thought Carla Gugino was amazing. And Henry Thomas, this was the first thing that I had seen him in as an adult. And to just move away from his childhood roles in Spielberg to play this absolutely atrocious father, I thought he was excellent. I just could have done without the space cowboy stuff.
Sorry, what was... I watched this the other day, but I'm drawing a blank. What was the space cowboy stuff again?
I think he means the Moonlight Man.
Yeah, Moonlight Man. Okay.
Moonlight Man. Sorry.
No, you're good.
That's why I took it.
Okay. See, no, I think that was an important enough part of the novel that it does translate well here, and it's very, very creepy. But yeah, if you haven't read the book and they took the Moonlight Man stuff out, doesn't really change it too much.
I thought the film could have ended with her being rescued and I would have been happy.
Yeah.
I think it goes on for like another 20 minutes of stuff that I didn't care too much about, like her coming to grips with being abused as a child and all that stuff. I think that the whole story is the setup. She's handcuffed to a bed and she can't escape and her husband has died and is on the floor and there's a wild dog eating his remains in the room. That to me was creepy enough and the story of her survival and getting out. And then this throwing in this whole thing where she's seeing this thing. Yes. And, I just thought her rescue and coming to terms with her stuff could have been enough. That we had to go and see her confront, and it turns out that he was real and all that stuff. I mean, okay. It seemed too cute.
Yeah, ties a little tight little bow on it.
Yeah,
because the movie in general isn't lazy, but like that's just kind of not a great story device at the end there. Like basically what that was we saw.
And Simon.
I have to disagree with you, Kevin. I thought the film was really boring for the most part. I didn't find it interesting. Until the end. Until the Moonlight Man showed up and took the ring. Until the Moonlight Man had this courtroom appearance and she didn't go. I liked the last 15 minutes.
It's her waking in the hospital is where I would have ended the film.
I could see that. I think I would have accepted it there, but I did enjoy the last 15 minutes. I kind of wanted to know what she did with her life.
I said, I didn't care. But it was all about survival when she survived, and then now we need to do, like, what seemed to be, like, a bunch of unnecessary exposition of her goals and dreams after that. So, I don't know.
I actually like that.
It's almost like an epilogue.
I know, but it kind of made me like the film a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. If not, I would have hated it. Because I thought her sitting there talking to herself and her dad was a little perverted for me.
You see, I thought that was all fascinating, the conversations she was having with her dead husband and herself.
They were okay.
And then her way of, you know, things to remember that there was water above her head, and then all the little things were to get her to remember or think of a way to escape, which she does.
Yeah. How they did that made it filmable, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, the exposition is a bit, like, lazy at the end, but, like, I that was the most interesting part of the novel, finding out that he was real, and he's, like, a grave robber. So, just, like, that, and I just think it's very interesting foreshadowing how at the beginning, on the radio, like, oh, someone's been breaking in the crypts. And then, also the foreshadowing of them almost running over the stray dog. Because, like, in the novel, the dog just gets in. But, before... like, the premise, like, the setup of, like, the horror setup, getting handcuffed to the bed. Like, they see the dog. And I just thought it was very good for foreshadowing. And the setup was just great. And some very creepy moments, especially, like the Moonlight Man in the corner. I was like, oh, shit. Like, in the book, it's very scary. But in the film, it's also very creepy.
I loved it in the movie. I didn't know what was going on, but I thought he was the Crypt Keeper. Like, that was a spirit, and she had died?
Yeah.
Because that's the way I took it when he first showed up. I don't know how I was supposed to take it in the book, but I thought she had died, and now she was pairing the ferryman to go over.
Yeah, I think that's...
Yeah, that's what I was taking it as, too.
Yeah, the thematic thing, like, and Gerald is saying, oh, that's death. But no, in reality, it's just, this is just a crazy guy.
Well, that's why I really like the epilogue to explain that all to me.
Yeah, that's true.
I would rather have left that ambiguous.
And then thematically it could just be his death and not just like, oh no, it's just some crazy guy who's been stealing people.
I agree. I think ambiguity was the way to go with the Moonlight Man.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion.
And I don't think he was in the backseat of her car with red glowing eyes. I think that was her imagination.
Yeah, that was like the solar eclipse Moonlight Man. Right. Like in her head, yeah.
Right. Okay, well, I think that's about it for this one, right?
You are correct. We'll have to save everything else for next time.
Okay.
All right. Anybody buy anything?
Doug might have.
I did not this week.
What? You weren't allowed out of the house?
Just nothing struck my fancy.
You mean you didn't drive by Barnes & Noble to have a little peek?
Nope, not this week.
He's saving it up for Thanksgiving, like Black Friday or whatever it's called.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Simon, anything?
No, I've had a very busy week of working very early in the morning, so I've been a little off kilter. So, no, I've not been out to buy anything.
Okay, and Daniel?
No, I haven't bought something for a while. I mean, I got... from this Chapters gift card that I had from a while ago, I bought this book called The World of It, and it's a tie-in for behind the scenes for the two new It films.
Oh, okay.
That's cool. So I haven't looked through, browsed through it a little bit, but I haven't started reading it, but I'm excited to.
Well, I bought digital copies of Spider-Man Far From Home and Teen Titans Go Meet Teen Titans, or versus Teen Titans, and Rudy.
I don't know if we remember. Have we done Rudy? I think we did.
I think we have, yeah. I think it was a $5 digital purchase, so.
Okay. You lose money if you don't get it, right?
Do I? I don't know. I'm sure I have a DVD somewhere of it, but I wanted it. Like, I prefer to have the stuff digital because it's just more accessible to me.
Okay.
Yeah, because I can watch it on my iPad or my TV or one.
Okay.
I don't have to go looking for discs.
Basically, I can sell the disc if I want to.
Okay. The duo of yawns, I think, is our cue.
All right. The duel of the yawns? Is that like the duel of the fates?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think so. Who can yawn louder?
Well, if they make it, do we still say something?
No, we yawn about it.
We yawn about it. Yeah, we yawn about it.
Especially this week's movies.
Yes, they were terrible.
Hey, what kind of clothing does the house wear?
I have no idea.
Address.
Oh, God. Goodbye, Gavin.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
I'm Doug.
And have a great week. Bye.